5 years ago, Governor Scott Walker introduced legislation that curtailed collective bargaining for most public workers, setting off huge protests at the state capitol. While supporters of Act 10 say state and local governments have reaped tremendous savings without compromising the quality of services, opponents say that Act 10 has harmed public schools, hurt the economy, forced early retirements, and created divisiveness. So in today's big question, we ask you, do you think Act 10 has been good or bad for Wisconsin, and why? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is coming up on 9 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, February 17th. 1-800-642-1234 is the number to call if you'd like to weigh in or if you have a question for either of our guests. You can also send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Let me welcome our guests. Michelle Litchens is a small business owner from Elm Grove, a former Republican state representative. She's a regular on our Friday Week in Review programs. She was one of 53 Assembly Republicans to vote for Act 10. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
And also joining us, John Erpenbach, a Democratic state senator from Middleton. He was one of 14 state senators who left the state to block a vote on Act 10. Good morning.
Hey, how you doing, Joy?
Good. Thanks to both of you for being with us as we mark the five-year anniversary of the introduction of Act 10. Michelle, since you voted for the bill, we'll begin with you. In your opening statement, why do you think Act 10 has been good for Wisconsin?
I think to answer that question, we have to go back to why we did it in the first place and why so many of us Republicans ran in 2010. Most of the freshmen that I came in with had never run for public office before, but we knew the financial situation that our state was in. If you look back in 2009, Governor Doyle said we had a $6.5 billion deficit going ahead. He was going to lay off 1,100 public employees. He wanted public employees that were not emergency employees to be furloughed for 8 days a year. He wanted to open contracts and ask our public employees to take a 2% pay decrease. Which obviously wasn't happening. And when you are out there in the private sector working and you're seeing paychecks go down, you're seeing your increases in health insurance, and you've watched our public employees, and I won't fault the employees, but their union leadership, at that time they were just unwilling to give and to budge at all. And that's what inspired many of us to run for public office. One of my number one issues was reforming QEO and bringing parity to public employees and private employees' benefit packages. And I think if you just look back to early 2010, 2009, and why Wisconsin was so frustrated and why you saw Republicans sweep the Assembly and the Senate and the governor's office because they saw that these reforms were so necessary. So when we did this, it was not a pleasant experience, and maybe it should have been done a little bit differently. But, you know, today we have a balanced budget. We did not have to lay off public employees. We did not have to furlough our public employees. They still have jobs in Wisconsin, and our state's moving in the right direction.
All right, Senator Erpenbach, in your opening statement, why do you think that Act 10 was bad for Wisconsin?
Well, I think by any measure you look at, whether it's economics or whether it's the job, whether it's the state budget, whatever the case may be, it hasn't worked. And it really wasn't a topic of discussion at all in 2010. Governor Walker never talked about it. I don't recall anybody running for the state Senate on the Republican side talking about basically eliminating collective bargaining and so on. So as far as the measures are concerned, we are struggling to hire teachers right now, correctional officers, and we had a whole bunch of early retirements, which is why public employees didn't have to be laid off. Politically, you know, it worked for Governor Walker for a little while. It got him a presidential run for about 70 days. But as a result, we're not really any better off economically than we are now. We still struggle. Local units of governments are still having problems putting the budgets together. And the deficit we were dealing with wasn't a result of what was going on in Wisconsin so much as what was going on nationally. And Act 10, as far as the money is concerned, the unions, you know, essentially gave up the money and gave Governor Walker what he wanted almost immediately after Act 10 was introduced. So this really was never about the money. This is all about getting rid of collective bargaining in Wisconsin.
Yeah, what about that, Michelle Litchens? This was not about the money. It was to get rid of collective bargaining and hurt the unions.
I think this was all about the money. Again, you just have to look back to where we were with arbitration and finding arbitration before this all took place. The unions at the end said they might be willing to give up something, but obviously they weren't willing to give up anything in Janesville, Kenosha, and Milwaukee because they rushed through those contracts and continued to hurt those municipalities for the next 2 years. So you had a few small unions say, oh, sure, we'll make some concessions now, but why weren't they willing to make the concessions the year before when the governor said, people are going to lose their jobs? The governor had, Governor Doyle had said, we were going to lay off one out of every 10 teachers in the state. And you didn't see any local school unions, you know, raising their hands saying, yeah, we better do something about this right now. They were going to break the back of Nina with their second pension, and they refused to give on that at all. They even went past after Act 10 was passed and tried to take them to court to have the district pay off that second pension, which they lost in that battle. But nonetheless, this was not about breaking the union. This was about money for the state of Wisconsin and the fact that the unions were unwilling to cooperate when it came to the taxpayers.
Senator Erpenbach?
Actually, they did. The unions, I think the second or third day after Act 10 was introduced, I think the unions basically said, okay, Governor Walker, here's every penny that you asked for. And we were ready to come back to Wisconsin, deal with Act 10, debate it on its merits after the unions agreed to every single financial concession that Governor Walker wanted. But that wasn't enough. And in the end, it was all about collective bargaining. It was all about taking away the ability for public employees to sit down with the administration, whether it be Governor Doyle, Governor Walker, Governor whoever, and work out contracts that were fair and recognize the hard work that the public employees did. Governor Doyle never once talked about laying off a teacher. Governor Doyle never once talked about laying off a teacher. He did talk about furloughs, and we did go through a round of furloughs. But in the end, you know, I don't know why it was there other than the fact that after the unions conceded to the financial terms that the Governor Walker, kept going and insisted on getting rid of collective bargaining, which in the end, Choi, as far as I'm concerned, that's what this was all about. It had nothing to do with money.
But Senator Erpenbach, according to the MacGyver Institute, which is marking the anniversary of Act 10 with some positive stories and such, Act 10 has saved taxpayers nearly $5.25 billion. I'm not asking you to comment on their math, but how do you respond to the argument that taxpayers saved a lot of money under this law?
Well, I'm just not even going to respond to it, Joy, because it's the MacGyver Institute. It's a Republican mouthpiece, so I really don't give them any justification on anything. Their job, according to those who fund them, is to promote Republican policies, and that's what they do. So they're not a traditional news outlet, so we'll just leave it at that.
You know, Michelle?
Just to respond to some of the money part of it, if you look back to 2010, 2009, and remember, so many of our school districts were begging their unions just to change health insurance providers. They said, that's it, we just want to bid it out. And the teachers were asking for very large raises in order to change health insurance providers, even if they were providing the same services. So after Act 10, those school districts, those school boards were able to do that. If you want to look at some of these savings, you can question the numbers, but this is the reality. Baraboo was able to drop the WIA Trust, and they saved $660,000. Edgerton School District dropped WIA Trust. They saved $500,000. Elmbrook School District changed healthcare providers, saving $875,000. I mean, the numbers here are large, and this was more than just about asking the public employees to contribute towards their health insurance and their pensions. This was about actually using your local dollars as efficiently and effectively as you can, because our local dollars are getting smaller and we have to do more with less. And so the ability just to go out and bid for a different health insurance company, you wouldn't think that was that difficult to do, but these local unions were not willing to cave on that at all. And that is where a lot of the savings for the taxpayers came in.
But that's also part of the negotiation process. Public employees were already, and continue to this day, were already donating to their pensions and were already donating and paying for their health insurance. It was something that they would negotiate along the way. And of local school boards, and by the way, not many local units of government wanted this. Some did, most did not. The whole process of sitting down and negotiating salary, negotiating benefits, and so on and so forth was part of you know, how we did business here in the state of Wisconsin for a long time. And economically, local school districts and local units of government, yep, financially they were hurting, but it was more a matter of the way the state delivers the money back to local units of government. And if our tax collections are off because nationally our economy is not working well, or in the state the economy is not working well, you don't pick it out on the public employee. You sit down and you work with a public employee, and in the end, they were giving more money.
John Erpenbach is a Democratic state senator from Middleton. He was one of 14 senators who left the state 5 years ago to block a vote on Act 10. Michelle Litchens is our other big question guest. She is a former Republican state representative. She was one of 53 Assembly Republicans to vote for Act 10. And we are asking in today's big question, has Act 10 been good or bad for Wisconsin, and why? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. In today's big question, we are wondering if Wisconsin is better off or worse off because of Act 10. Has Act 10 been good or bad for Wisconsin, and why? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. 5 years ago at this time, protesters were at the state capitol opposing this bill, which stripped most public workers of their collective bargaining rights and required them to contribute more to their pensions and health benefits. Supporters said this was necessary to balance the budget and to bring in tax savings. We are talking with a former Republican state representative who voted for Act 10 and a current Democratic state senator who left the state to try to block Act 10 about what it's like 5 years later. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guests are Democratic State Senator John Erpenbach and former Republican State Representative Michelle Litchens. We have full lines, so let's go to Brandon in Oshkosh. Hello, Brandon.
Hey, Joy. My question is for Michelle. As a former correctional officer going through Act 10 and when it all happened, I watched my pay decrease as far as my take-home pay goes after our benefits were, you know, they costed a higher percentage monthly. And I just want to know, you know, it wasn't compensated back with a pay increase for some time, and that really devastated a lot of families, especially if you were married into the same system. How do you feel like that was a fair thing to do? You know, I'm just curious.
Well, I don't want to say that that was necessarily fair. But I actually really wish the state had more money right now to give correction officers raises. A lot of our state employees haven't seen a raise in a long time, and I wish that we could have that addressed. But again, you need more money in the coffer to do that. So it's not, we're not talking about being fair necessarily here, but if you remember at that time, everyone in the private sector was seeing their take-home pay decrease every year and our property taxes skyrocketing. We were paying more for our health insurance every single month, and yet we were watching the public sector employees not see increases in their health insurance or their pensions, and they were continuing to get pay raises while the rest of us out in the state were working extremely hard, and we were only watching our taxes go up while we were seeing our take-home pay decrease. So I'm not saying anything was fair. All I'm saying is there's limited funds out there, and you have to solve the problem. Our state budget was not balanced before the Republicans took over. It has been balanced since, and it continues to be balanced. I really hope to see the state coffers increase somewhat so that we can give our public employees a pay raise. No one wants to work for free, and so I really hope that we have that money available. But at least now we can say that public employees are contributing more towards their health insurance and their pensions because the private sector has been making those payments for years. You know, just to add one thing, before this all happened, again, we just have to look back. In my area, and it was in Oshkosh, it was a common joke. If you got a job with the county or the city, we would say you won the lottery, you know, because you had a great pension for you, you had a great health insurance provider, and you were paying almost nothing for it. And it was kind of a joke. And so I think there was a lot of animosity between the public and the private sector employees before Act 10 took place. And, of course, we still see a little bit of that animosity out there now. I'm hoping that that's starting to fade more and more as the years pass.
Senator Erpenbach.
Well, there is animosity because that's what Governor Walker wanted. He wanted to point out the haves and the have-nots, which was just an irresponsible way to govern. And the issue is, if there were problems in the private sector, which there were, that's what we should have been focusing on. You don't level the playing field by taking something away from somebody. You level the playing field by making sure that everybody has an opportunity at economic prosperity here in the state of Wisconsin, but that's not the way the governor and most of the Republicans went about their business. They said, look at that, that's a public employee. They have something, you don't, so let's take it away from them. I mean, nobody wins in that situation. Nobody wins at all. And as far as money goes, to give money to public employees, we have the money, but the governor has made, like, weed it a priority to try and create jobs here in the state. So we can give money away to corporations and give money away to businesses, and then they're not held accountable for creating jobs, and we lose millions and millions of dollars. We're just throwing that money away. So in the end, if the public employee was never the problem here, nationally, we were struggling. In the state, we were struggling, and we should have focused on how we can create jobs and how we can help businesses, especially small businesses, grow rather than take something away. And as far as the economy goes, again, when we did that, certain parts of the state where there are a lot of heavy concentration of public employees, small businesses, whether it be bowling alleys, taverns, restaurants, whatever the case may be, they felt that economic hit as well as a result of Act 10.
Senator Erpenbach, talk some, if you will, about you'd mentioned, I believe, earlier that Act 10 is one of the reasons why we're seeing problems in the corrections sector in Wisconsin, and our caller was a former corrections officer.
And it's not just corrections, but we are seeing staffing levels not where they need to be. And as a result, we have some really dangerous situations in our prisons around the state of Wisconsin because we can't hire because working for the state right now or being a public employee isn't necessarily a very attractive thing. So as a result, people are being forced into overtime, which actually costs us more money. But there was just a steady stream of retirements from public employees, whether they be officers in our correctional systems or teachers or whatever the case may be, who didn't necessarily want to leave, but they did as a result of not only the way they were treated, but the way they were disrespected overall. I mean, it was unbelievably disrespectful with the way the governor handled all this. But as a result, we've got, you know, up in Columbia and Portage, for example, we're running about a 20% vacancy rate. School districts are struggling to hire teachers in certain parts of the state. And that's all a result of the fact that not only did Governor Walker make public employees enemy number one, but they're not respected and they're not treated well by the rest of the state, and that's too bad.
Katie emails, do you think the effects of Act 10 may be why it is taking our state so long to recover from the recession? Our family alone has had $5,000 per year less to spend in our community since Act 10. Think about how many others were affected and the total dollars that are no longer being spent. So take-home pay is less for state employees or public employees, Michelle Litchens, and maybe that's why our economy is slower to recover than neighboring states?
No, I don't think so at all. And I don't think it just affected take-home pay. Again, it changed a lot of, like I said when I was referring to the WIA Trust for insurance, it reduced a lot of costs for districts as well. And we are seeing a lot of public employees receiving raises. You know, for the first time, we are seeing teachers receiving bonuses, Nina, up of $10,000 a year because you're able to receive a pay raise based on merit instead of just the step that every year you're going to receive a certain raise based on your seniority, not on your ability or how hard you are working. So I don't believe that's true at all.
Senator Erpenbach?
Well, it is true. That, coupled with other policies that Governor Walker has put forward and the Republicans have supported, economically we are struggling, and nobody really can deny that. But when you take $5,000 of spendable income away from a family, it's going to hurt the economy. I mean, there's no denying that. But in the end, our economy continues to struggle 5 years after Act 10 for all sorts of reasons, and Act 10 is one of them.
I'm Joy Cardine talking with Democratic State Senator John Erpenbach and former Republican State Representative Michelle Litchens during this edition of Our Big Question, when we are asking, 5 years after it was introduced, whether Act 10 has been good or bad for Wisconsin and why. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. And I should also note that I am a public employee. I'm an employee of the University of Wisconsin Extension, so Act 10 also affected me personally. Jeremy in Wausau is with us next. Hi, Jeremy.
Hello. I have a comment to make. I am a pretty much a brand new teacher. I was I got my teaching license right after Act 10 was enacted, and since I got my teaching license and got my first job near one of the smaller schools around Wausau, I have had basically a beginning teacher wage every single year since I was hired, and as a result now, I'm not even able to pay my student loans back. I'm looking at, having to finish my teaching license recertification. I'm looking at it and seeing my friends who are in the public sector making more than me, and they do less than me now to even keep their license or keep their ability to work at their place. And I'm looking at, well, why am I going to be a teacher anymore? And I can't afford it anymore. I have a loyalty to my small district who can't pay me, but at the same time, I could go somewhere else and make a lot more. The small schools are getting hammered. And the bigger schools, like maybe Nina, who can pay a bonus, are getting all the golden apple teachers, and the little districts are suffering the consequences of Act 10.
All right, thanks for that call. You know what? Because I have a similar call, or maybe a little different perspective, I want to go to Teresa in Eau Claire before we get our guest to respond. Teresa, go ahead.
Yeah, Joy. Hi. How are you?
Good. Yes, go ahead with your comment.
Yes, my comment is before Act 10, I was paying 29% towards my health insurance, and after Act 10, it went down to 12.6%. So that benefited me, but it did not benefit my district, who had to pick up the extra percentage to pay for my health insurance.
All right, I see. So it benefited her personally, but not the district, which is doing it. And our other caller was saying, richer districts are better off, and working for a small school district, he's not better off. Michelle, you want to handle those?
Well, I think the issue in Wausau is actually an issue that is affecting our state with all of our school districts. I know the speaker put together a task force on how we need or how we can address funding these smaller school districts that have declining enrollment, because that is how the state helps to fund those school districts. And when they have declining enrollment, they don't have as much money there to fund our teachers as well as they should. And so that is an issue that needs to be addressed. I don't believe his pay is directly related to Act 10. I do think that has far more to do about declining enrollment and how these smaller school districts are going to continue to provide all of the services that they have to provide when they don't have as much revenue coming in to support these kids.
Senator Erpenbach?
Actually, pay is directly tied to Act 10. The pay cuts are directly tied to Act 10. Paying more for health care and paying more toward retirement is directly tied to Act 10, and there's really no other way to look at it. As far as declining enrollment is concerned, over half of the state is in a district that has declining enrollment, and obviously it's an issue that we need to deal with. But overall, if you take a look at the big picture, Joy, was Act 10 needed? Are we better off because of it 5 years ago? And it wasn't needed, and we're not better off. We're still at each other's throats over this particular issue, and we shouldn't be. And the way it was all handled was very irresponsible. And it's not so much we went to Illinois to block Act 10. We went to Illinois to basically try and have a debate because they wanted to have this become law within about a week. And something that significant, something that's going to change the dynamics here in the state of Wisconsin, both on the economy and how we view public employees, deserve to have a much longer debate than we even actually had. You know, rather than introduce it in a budget repair bill, which wasn't necessary, governor should have introduced it in his regular biennial budget. We could have debated it for 6 months and voted, and that would have been the end of it. But going back and taking a look at all of it, it wasn't necessary, and it didn't get us to where we needed to be as a state.
Yeah, well, talk about that, Michelle Litchens, in that we are still divided and bitterly debating this 5 years later, so maybe Wisconsin's not better off.
Yeah, I think we are not nearly as divided as we were a couple years ago. I mean, you had family that couldn't even get together for Easter that year and family that didn't talk to each other for the next Christmas, which is sad. But again, that brings up the idea that I mentioned before about how people who are working in the private sector and they had seen their, you know, health insurance costs skyrocket, and we watched our public employee brethren not contribute anything else, but yet our property taxes were increasing so substantially every year. That created animosity. And so, you know, I mean, it's getting better in the state. It's sad. We have great public employees. They need to be respected for the jobs that they do. Things are not the same as they were 5 years ago. So, it is better. Unfortunately, there's still a little bit of that stigma out there. I'll tell you, as one of those individuals that was protested, I couldn't even go to church without public employees yelling at me with their fingers literally in my face in the back of church, yelling at me how I'm destroying their lives. Talk about creating animosity, right there you have it. So I think there's equal blame on both sides, and I'm hoping that our state can heal itself. You know, time heals everything. So, and I just hope that we get ourselves to a better place, but we're certainly in a better place today than we were 5 years ago.
Let me take a call from Michael in Kenosha. Hi, Michael.
Hi.
Yes, go ahead.
I had a question, just so I can get a more of an understanding. I got to probably pick my words right, but what makes a state employee any better as far as being benefits and everything than a regular worker who gets up every morning and still contributes, pay taxes, and gets up, you know, dawn till night to work? That's my first question. And two, a family member of mine also works for the state, and like Michelle said, it's like winning the lottery. And the animosity of every time, you know, we get together, it's why should I have to contribute more for you? Even though I work harder, I went to school, I did my thing, and I do have a degree, and I work. So why would I have to for someone who's kind of just got lucky, like Michelle said, won the lottery?
All right, there we go. Senator Erpenbach, what about private sector employees who think public employees are not paying anything toward their health insurance or their pensions, and they won the lottery and are, you know, the private sector employee is paying their salary?
Well, that's the big lie that the governor and Republicans want those in the private sector to believe, that public employees aren't paying anything. Public employees have been paying toward their pension. They have been paying toward their retirement. You have a certain amount of money when you sit down and you negotiate with anything. And throughout the negotiation process with that money, it's decided in some cases that, okay, rather than take a pay increase this year and actually take home pay, let's take that money and put it toward the increasing cost of health care, or let's put more toward the retirement. So that was the big lie from the beginning, was that public employees don't pay anything. And they do, and they have been from the beginning, paying into retirement and paying into health care. What Act 10 did was it made them pay substantially more. And getting back to the private sector, everybody works hard in this state. Whether you're a public employee or a private employee, you wouldn't have a job. So everybody works hard. But in the end, what we should have been focusing on is the struggles that those were having in the private economy. Taking away or making public employees pay even more toward their benefits did nothing. Absolutely nothing to help the economy and help the economy grow. And that's where the governor should have been focused on from the very beginning, and the Republicans should have been focused on from the very beginning, is if they're struggling in the private sector, that's what we should do to help, rather than take something away from somebody to make sure everybody has nothing. Is absolutely no way to govern.
We only have 2 minutes left, not even 2 minutes, before sure. We have to let you go. Michelle Litchens, give us your closing argument as to why you think Wisconsin is better off because of Act 10.
The way that binding arbitration was created, there was absolutely no way that the taxpayer had a fair shake in that arbitration. You were bent over as a taxpayer when it came to the union negotiations. You had private unions. They were giving, when it came to pay raises, for more health insurance and a higher contribution towards their pensions. But the public employees were not. In Neenah, the teachers were paying $5. They had a $5 copay for their health insurance, and they were not contributing towards their pensions. So not everyone was contributing, and there was absolutely no way through the binding arbitration system we had set up in Wisconsin that the taxpayers were going to get a fair shake in Neenah unless we did what we did through Act 10. So I do believe Wisconsin's in a better place financially. We do have a couple years of healing yet ahead of us, but we did the right thing.
Yeah, 30 seconds, Senator Erpenbach, for your closing statement.
Well, what Michelle said is just absolutely not true. Taxpayers are represented by the administrations that negotiate the contracts with the public employees. At the state level, the governor negotiates them. At the local level, the school boards negotiate them. They're all elected officials. In the end, Act 10 did nothing but tear us apart.
And we'll leave it there. Thank you both very much for being with us. John Erpenbach, Democratic State Senator from Middleton, and Michelle Litchens, a former Republican State Representative. We'll give you the opportunity to sound off after the news. This is The Big Question, and we are asking you, has Act 10 been good or bad for Wisconsin, and why? You get 30 seconds to state your case at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. 5 years ago, Governor Scott Walker introduced legislation that curtailed collective bargaining for most public workers, setting off huge protests at the state capitol. While supporters of Act 10 say state and local governments have reaped tremendous savings without compromising the quality of services, opponents say it has harmed public schools, forced early retirements, and created divisiveness. So we heard from two guests throughout the hour. We heard from former Republican State Representative Michelle Litchens, who voted for Act 10, and we heard from Democratic State Senator John Erpenbach, who opposed and voted against Act 10 during our last hour. Now it's your turn to sound off. Let's start taking calls. Casey in Whitewater. Hi, Casey.
Hi. So first of all, I just wanted to point out that Michelle seemed to be kind of talking in circles, because at first she was saying that state employees had not received a pay raise, and she wished there had been more money for them to receive the pay raise, but it was unfortunate that it wasn't available. And then she tried to say that teachers had actually received a pay raise by getting the merit-based pay, which, I'm sorry, but a bonus is not considered a pay raise. And furthermore, as one of your other guests pointed out, that just creates inequality in public schools by taking away teachers from lower income communities.
Thank you very much, Casey. This is because it's Sound Off. We're asking you, is Wisconsin better off or worse off because of Act 10? And do you think Act 10 was good or bad for Wisconsin? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. During our Sound Offs, everybody gets 30 seconds so we can get as many of you in as possible. Corey in Appleton, go ahead.
I think Michelle grossly mischaracterizes the impact in large districts for teachers. My wife is a teacher in the Nina School District, and she's had exceeds expectations on her performance appraisals the last 5 years. And we have a 1.5% raise this most recent year to show for it. The net impact is about $25,000 over the 5 years in lost income, and the impact then is less money, discretionary money for the local economy.
Thank you very much. You got it in exactly 30 seconds, Corey. We have lots of Facebook comments as well. Ray on Facebook says, Act 10 saves Wisconsin taxpayers more than $5 billion over 5 years. Without Act 10, the same practice of unions controlling all sides of the negotiations would have continued. From buying overpriced insurance from the WEA Trust to mandatory tiered wage increases, regardless of merit, the amount of fat that was trimmed was a blessing. So Ray thinking the state is better off and that Act 10 was good. What do you think? Jean in Eau Claire is next. Hi, Jean.
Good morning. Increased deception in the state of Wisconsin. It's bad for Wisconsin. Lying liars lied and continue to lie. That's my comment. Thank you.
All right, thanks. Rick in Hartford is next. Hello, Rick.
Hi. I absolutely think Act 10 was good for Wisconsin from the Hartford area. We've hired more teachers. We've expanded our programs. I work in the private sector. My taxes have gone down over the last several years, close to $1,200 on my property taxes. And that money is reinvested into the local economy. Thank you, and have a nice day.
All right, thanks, Rick. Let's go next to Jim in Eau Claire. Hello, Jim.
Yeah, Joy, thanks for having me on. Act 10 was a disaster from the start. The governor wants to portray this as a huge tax savings for the people. But just not too long ago, the state troopers negotiated, and the governor signed off on a 17% increase in their wages and benefits. The legislature had to come in and pare that down to 3. Don't tell me we don't have any money. We have money. We just have a governor that likes to divide and conquer.
Thank you, Jim. 30 seconds for sound off comments. And Chris in Milwaukee is next. Hello, Chris.
Hi. You know, there's a Russian proverb of the peasant who rubs the lamp. The genie comes out with one wish. The guy says, hey, my neighbor has a horse. The genie says, you want a horse? The neighbor says, no, I want my neighbor's horse dead. Come on, let's not get ahead by putting other people down. If you want to see if Act 10 was good for Wisconsin, compare Wisconsin and Minnesota, and then come back and tell me. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Let's go next to Cliff in Appleton. Hello, Cliff. What do you think?
I think that there was deception involved. For years as a state employee, I was disappointed with my pay raises. But everyone said, well, you get additional benefits. Well, then, without warning, Act 10 happens, and they take the benefits. Okay, well, then pay me like private sector. That never happened. The people in private sector that are mad thinking we got something we didn't deserve, we didn't get private sector wages. There was deception, just like the private email router outside Scott Walker's office. Lies, deception, mistreating people, divide and conquer. It is the worst thing for Wisconsin.
Was Act 10 good or bad for Wisconsin? Do you think Wisconsin is better off or worse off because of Act 10? That is our big question today, and we are giving you an opportunity to sound off. We give you 30 seconds to make your case, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. You can also vote in our online poll, which you'll find on Facebook and at wpr.org/joy. Jeff in Greendale is next. Hi, Jeff.
Hi. I think it was good, and the reason why is, and I'll form it into a question, when Walker was recalled, the impetus behind that was Act 10. So when the recall election came around, the Act 10 debate disappeared, and it all went to jobs. Why?
Well, that's your vote then, because I'm not answering questions, but thanks for putting that vote out there or that comment out there. Dennis in Fond du Lac. Hi, Dennis.
Yeah, hi, Joy. My comment is I think it depends on how you measure better off. I think financially you're better off. Yes, we are. But socially, we've torn the state apart with families and people and neighbors, and we're not better off than that is. So thank you.
Thank you very much. Next, we go to Glenda in Stockbridge. Hello, Glenda.
Hi.
We're losing you, Glenda. Go ahead. Nope, we lost Glenda. Let's go next, then, to Dan in Franklin. Hello, Dan.
Hi, Joy.
Yes, go ahead.
Well, I think it was definitely good. The numbers don't lie. And I think just the ability of the schools to competitively buy their insurance from different health insurance companies was a good thing.
Okay, thank you very much. Jim says Act 10 was a disaster. It divided families and divided the mentality in Wisconsin. Lori in Milwaukee is next. Hi, Lori.
Hi. I think Act 10 was negative for Wisconsin. I'm a special education teacher, and I've seen what Act 10 has done as far as community within schools, teachers feeling like they don't have job security and how that trickles down to students. It took a lot of families who felt that they were secure in Wisconsin and eliminated that sense of well-being here.
Thank you very much, Lori. 30 seconds to give us your answer to today's big question. Was Act 10 good or bad for Wisconsin and why? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. Ron on Facebook says, clearly it's been bad. It was the start of the large-scale corruption and economic downturn that we now see in the state. Wisconsin deserves better. We used to value education over greed. John in Janesville is next. Hello, John.
Yes, I think the long-term effects are yet to be seen. It will take a number of years to see it. I feel they are detrimental to the state of Wisconsin and the United States as a whole. A lot of good teachers had to be let go to conform to the restraints put in place. And again, the instability of the school districts. In the short term, yes, I think things did what they said they were going to do, but the long terms are what's going to hurt us.
Thank you, John. Is Wisconsin better off or worse off because of Act 10? Do you think Act 10 has been good or bad for Wisconsin and why? Tom in Cedarburg, what's your answer to the big question?
Hi, I would definitely say no, and I'd like to point out the connection to the attack on private unions in 2014 and how they've been attacked also now, and that this is a ploy by the extremely wealthy to bring down labor and bring down the wages of all working people, including private sector without unions.
Thank you, Tom. Mark in Appleton, you're next. Go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I think it's been very bad. It's divisive. It's divided the state. Also wanted to point out that the money could have been saved without Act 10. And also, the savings were squandered. We had a budget deficit 2 years ago. University of Wisconsin has been dramatic and drastic and devastating cuts. So it has not helped.
Thank you very much for your vote. We'll move next to Jeremy in Racine. Hi, Jeremy.
Hi, thank you. I think Act 10 was a bad move so far. Cutting the employees' pocketbooks, this wasn't the solution. Instead, they should have looked at the practices of the management, superintendent down. How do they allocate their funds? Are they using the funds appropriately and things of that nature? The easiest way for, like, any budgetary problems is always going after the employees. Employees get paid too much, blah, blah, blah. But they really need to look at how the superintendent allocates its funds and spends the money that is budgeted to the school systems.
Thank you very much. Walter in Milwaukee, what do you say?
I say Act 10 is bad for Milwaukee, it's bad for Wisconsin, and all that stuff about, you know, it's good for, you know, the pay raise and all this stuff. All they want to do is make sure you don't get a raise. You know, and it's just pretty much bad for definitely, you see the urban areas, it's terrible for our area. You hear, you know, the guy from Hartford, all these other very, you know, rich areas, they do great. You know, it's too good for them. But it's bad for anybody in the middle class or lower classes. We all have to suffer.
Thank you very much, Walter. 30 seconds, and we have time for one more. Tyler in Dane. Hi, Tyler. Oh, Tyler jumped, hung up just as I went to him. So we'll leave it there. You can continue voting in today's big question in our online poll, which is linked to the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page, or you can also go to WPR.org/joy. So far on air, we had 15 of you saying Act 10 was bad for Wisconsin, and only 4 of you saying it was good. Thanks to Bill Martins, thanks to Christy Taylor, thanks to Nyasia Ellison, and to Elizabeth Deliquess for producing this program. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.